open, minds attentive to receive the word for you today. Because it's powerful. Amen. It's cutting, it's sharper than a two-edged sword. It divides soul, spirit. It's powerful. Very important that we apply it to our lives. When you look across the world, the church is so different, isn't it? What we can do so freely, others can't do. Yeah, it's true, isn't it? Not every person who is a Christian, who's born again of the Spirit of God, can meet in the way that we meet. Can be very restricted. You know, don't ever forget the church is still persecuted in some parts of the world. But the church, you know, sometimes, maybe the last few years, the church has come under a lot of attack in various ways. You know, in some places its credibility may have been questioned. Maybe even certain individuals. And we live in days when the church needs to be strong. Do you believe that? Acts chapter 19. I'm going to look at Acts chapter 19 this morning just for a few moments. Acts chapter 19 and verse 20, it says, "So the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed." Now, don't we ever need to be in a place where the word of the Lord grows mightily and prevails or stands and takes ground and has an effect on people's lives and circumstances and cultures in which we live? Daniel chapter 11 and verse 32 says, "Those who do wickedly against the covenant, he shall corrupt with flattery, but the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits." You know, we need to be living in a day, I believe, and the church needs to be full of people and people that are connected and in life of church and just in life generally need to be a people who know their God. Amen? That we know our God and that we know the promises of God. Amen? The people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. So I believe the world needs men and women who know their God and his promises and uncompromisingly live the word of God in their generation. Yes. It's very easy in the generation in which we live to not live out the word of God in our lives and see that working in our lives. But when you see the early church and how it was growing in the days of Acts chapter 19, there were people there who were out working the word of God in their lives, and we're able to see from verse 20 of Acts chapter 19, "So the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed." Of course, if you read on in there a little bit more from Acts chapter 21 to the end, you find that the church then became, those who were that growth and that expansion became under such attack. And that's going to be the case. That's why we need to be strong, people who know their God and carry out great exploits. So this is the early days of the church. And Paul is able to bring some truth to him and in many ways some correction that leads to revelation in the hearts of many. And we need to be, I believe, be open to revelation, open to instruction, open to receiving what God has for us, open to the word of God so that it brings revelation to us so that we are a people who know our God. And when we know our God, we are strong and can carry out great exploits. Now, if you're a Christian this morning, you didn't get saved just to be weak and washy. That's right. You hear what I'm saying? You didn't just get saved to be weak and washy. You got saved to fulfill the purposes of God in your generation. That's right. You're born for such a time as this. It's not just about somebody in the Bible. You're born for such a time as this. Before you were formed in your mother's womb, God knew you. You weren't just an accident waiting to happen. So the early church, in this situation, Paul is able to bring some truth. He's able to bring some correction that leads to revelation in the hearts of some of these people. And they get in that place where we read there in verse 20 of Acts chapter 19. "So the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed." So I want to come back to that in just a minute. But how did it get to that place where the word of the Lord, you know, prevailed? It grew mightily. The church was expanding. you know, right across that region. And so in this chapter of chapter 19 of Acts, you know, in my Bible that I've got here, it says the beginning says the Ephesian Pentecost. And this isn't the Pentecost on the day of Pentecost. This is living Pentecost. You know, someone says, you know, are you a Pentecostal church? And we have to ask ourselves the question, well, is there another sort? I may not have, you know, at least if you've got Pentecostal above the door, at least be Pentecostal. You hear what I'm saying? You know, we are not living in days that are where we need to be living out Pentecost now. You'd be living in days when we're seeing an outworking of the power of God through the power of the Holy Spirit in the lives of just ordinary people. It needs to be in the church. It needs to be in the church. We need to be open for that. Now, I was walking the streets just yesterday, and I walked past a church that I've only ever driven by, and I've never really taken a lot of notice of it, and it's what's going on. But I know some people that attend that church, and as I'm walking past it, I look at the notice board, and they have two services on a Sunday. They have one, I think, at 9:30 and one at 11:30. So, you know, if the Holy Ghost turns up in the 9:30 one, I feel sorry for the 11:30 comers. Maybe God won't have finished by the time the 11:30 ones turn up. But I'm thinking to myself, I'm looking around this place, and I'm thinking, you know, they've got a building here. It's not a particularly big building, so that's the reason they have two services. But the other thing I noticed was there is no, it's on the streets. It's got a street like on three sides of it, and all around it is residential homes, like flats and, you know, housing. And I know from previous experience that if you have a church that has houses around it, you struggle to be Pentecostal. You know, when we came in here, and I think it was a fire officer was in here, and he looked around the building. He went to the flat on the second floor, and he said, if you've got tenants in here, you know, it'll be okay because you'll be resting. You're not going to create a lot of noise, are you? You know, I think you need to come to one of our services. We had some tenants in there once who made a comment that on a bank holiday, you know, how come they couldn't get a lie-in of peace and quiet? Well, don't, you know, have a flat above a church that demonstrates Pentecost, you know, on a bank holiday that is over Easter time. And so maybe you see, you struggle. You know, I've been in church years ago. You know, there were housing all around it, and the neighbors would complain if you got Pentecostal, if you got noisy. I thank the Lord that here, yeah, we can make as much noise as we like, or as God likes. And we can get excited in the presence of God. We can get exuberant in our praise. And so this is the Ephesian Pentecost, but it is the Pentecost which we need to be living in as believers. Do you believe that? So the church needs to see this demonstration of power. And there are a lot of things that can distract the church and its purpose. They can distract us and keep us and hold us, if you like, and put reins on us so that we do not see a demonstration of the power of God and the Spirit of God. Paul went to the Corinthian church and said, I came to you not with words of eloquence or of great understanding or of, you know, my speech wasn't filled with words of wisdom, but I came to you with a demonstration of the Spirit of God and of the power of God, or the power of the Spirit. We need to be expectant to be seeing a demonstration of the Spirit of God and the power of God in our lives and in church. If it can't happen in church, where's it going to happen? There's a lot of things that can distract the church and its purpose. And one of the reasons is because the church is full of people. Yes, church has people and loves people at its core, doesn't it? So when we're just people, you know, we can get a lot of distraction. I believe we live in a day when this church is pretty strong, but it can be stronger. It needs to be going from strength to strength. Paul talks about going from victory to victory. God talks about going from revelation to revelation. It needs to be stronger. When you hear of some of the things that the church is having to negotiate, it's vital, I believe, that we purposefully build strong in the knowledge and of the belief in not only the name of Jesus, but the nature of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit. I believe we need to build strong in that. Let me just say that again. When you hear of some of the things that the church is having to negotiate, I'm not talking about Life Church, but I'm talking about the church. So that's any church. And in any church, you have to negotiate things. When you hear of some of the things you have to negotiate, it's vital that we purposefully build strong in the knowledge of and the belief in not only the name of Jesus, but the nature of Jesus and in the power of the Holy Spirit. And I think we can learn something from the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 19. As this church in Ephesus experienced this move of God. And in experience this move of God, the heading on in the chapter 19 of my Bible is the Ephesians Pentecost. They experienced the move of God. They experienced their Pentecost. The infilling and the outworking of the Holy Spirit. So let me just read from Acts chapter 19. It says, it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples there, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So they said to him, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. We didn't have a clue. And he said to them, into what then were you baptized? So they said, into John's baptism. Then Paul said, John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. When they had heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now the men were about 12 in all. So you get this group of men, this group of people who, when Paul gets to Ephesus there, he gets to this place, and for some reason, he meets these people who maybe he hadn't met them before. He'd been to Ephesus before, of course, but you know what? Where were they when he was talking, or when he was preaching, when he was speaking, when there was an outpouring of the Holy Spirit? Did they miss something? You see, I think sometimes people, we don't fully understand what we believe. Well, of course, if I believe it, I understand it. But sometimes, you know, we people don't know what they believe without being insulting, or, you know, they can be ignorant for whatever reason. Maybe that's because no one's ever asked them. Sometimes, you know, we can go through church, can go through the motions of doing something and never giving somebody an opportunity to receive salvation. Sometimes we can go through things, we can assume things and have an understanding of things that we never ask anybody if they have received the Holy Spirit. So that without being insulting and without, you know, we can find that, you know, as people in the kingdom of God, we can be a bit ignorant for whatever reason. But maybe Paul finds himself in Ephesus and meets some disciples who maybe he was thinking would encourage him, but when he asks them, you know, there's something about them. And finding some disciples, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So they said to him, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. So there was something they hadn't heard, something they hadn't been communicated for them for whatever reason. I think, church, we need to rise up and be sure that people know that they know that they know. Let's not preach a watered-down gospel. And so these people were called disciples, but they hadn't experienced the fullness of what God promised. And there was something about these disciples that prompted Paul to ask the question, did you receive the Holy Spirit? Sometimes we assume too much and don't maybe ask enough questions. People miss out on what God has for them and miss out on the fullness and the power of God working in their lives. For whatever reason, he asked them this question, and he'd been there before, and maybe these people, when he went there before, maybe they weren't in the meeting. Maybe they were otherwise engaged. Maybe just missed something, missed an opportunity that was there, but they hadn't received, they hadn't heard. I believe we've got to be a people who rise up and preach the full gospel. I believe it's important that we sensitively ask questions. And sometimes maybe not so sensitively, but you know, bluntly. Maybe don't ask enough questions. But Paul, for whatever reason, he finds these people and if something prompts him, the Holy Ghost presumably prompts him and says, did you receive the Holy Spirit? He'd been there before. We know that from Acts chapter 18 and verse 18 through 21, that he was there and then he left. And their response was, in Spain, that we'd never even heard, that nobody's ever told us. We didn't know there was. Someone's like, where have you been? It's like they knew enough to be saved. They knew enough to be saved. They were born again. They knew enough to be saved, but not much about God's nature. Not much about his nature revealed in Jesus and of his promise of the Holy Spirit. And so there was no strength and there was no power in these people. Not a lot to say. No strength and no power in them. And so Paul preaches Jesus to them. And Paul said, John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to them, the people, that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, it clicked. When they heard this, they got it and were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And then Paul laid hands on them, and the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now the men were about 12, and all these 12 men suddenly got this baptism in the Holy Spirit and started to prophesy, and the gifts were upon them, and something started to change in their lives. And so with them changed, with their lives changed, Paul starts to teach a little bit, and he goes to the synagogue. It says, and he went to the synagogue in verse 8 and spoke boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading concerning the things of the kingdom of God. And so he starts speaking and talking to the religious people. For 3 months, he's in the place where you'd expect to get some welcome, some clarity and strength in these people. It says in verse 9, but when some were hardened and did not believe, but spoke evil of the way before the multitude, he departed from there and withdrew the disciples. See, when Paul starts to bring this truth of the things of the Holy Spirit, such reasoning in the synagogue. But there in that place is judgmental Jake. And critical Clary. And opinionated Olivia. And it's like this tension and this friction. He's not getting anywhere. So because he's not getting anywhere, he withdraws from there. But doesn't leave these 12 there. He takes them with him. And then he goes and looks like he takes over, starts meeting in a school. He departed from there when they went from them and withdrew the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. And this continued for 2 years. So that all dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord, of Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. So Paul then spends two years and 3 months just teaching and encouraging these people who had received the Holy Spirit, who not only were just had an understanding of repentance, but had an understanding of the nature of Jesus and the power of Jesus and the working of the Holy Spirit. And so he spends 2 years and 3 months with them, just working with them. You know why? These people needed pastoring. They needed some shaping and they needed some instruction. You know, for 2 years he held meetings in this school, and those two years and 3 months, you know, he was clearly equipping the saints for the work of the ministry. He was clearly had them in that place where he was purposefully training and equipping them and spending time with them and mentoring them, bringing the truth in them, getting them out of that place where they were hearing the stuff that was judgmental and critical and opinionated and this and that and all over the place. But he was bringing and speaking life into them, and they were receiving something. Because when you receive the Holy Spirit, you receive power, you receive life. You receive revelation. And there's freedom, and it changes you. And so there we see, because when having done that, these 12 people and Paul, they said somehow they were able to get the word throughout the whole region. Throughout the whole region. And when you get the word out in the region, when you get the word around, this powerful word, equipped and empowered by the Holy Spirit, it starts to change things. It starts to change circumstances. It starts to get attention. If he'd have just left them there, well, we're not going to, you know, you're going to have, you listen to judgmental Jake. You listen to critical. Was she Clary? I can't remember. That was opinionated, Olivia. We got a few, we can find a name for anybody, can you? We'll leave it at there. Leave it there. Three is enough. Because I'll tread on someone's toes who's got a name that. They could have just spent that time, and you see, they could have just got saved, they could have just got born again and stayed there. But no, they pursued the things of the kingdom of God. They spent time in that ministry school or whatever it was, and it wouldn't have been, you know, it wouldn't have been a ministry school in the sense of they would have been spent, you know, 24 hours a day or 12 hours a day. These guys would have been working and doing their daily jobs. We know, of course, that Paul would do work. You know, I think, what was Paul, a tent maker? He would just work, you know, to fund his, so he could eat, basically. So they grabbed time. You know, just set time aside in those two years and just hear and allow Paul to teach them and bring this revelation. And it got them to the place where they were so filled and so empowered, they were able to get out there and change that whole region. And the word of God gets out. And look at what happens in verse 11. It said, now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul. Unusual miracles. Sometimes we're looking for miracles, and God works miracles in all sorts of ways. But here were some unusual miracles. So that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. That's unusual. That's unusual. Sometimes we can take what is unusual in the Bible and people will create some sort of doctrine around it and think that's the way you got to do things. Maybe, but maybe not. These were unusual. God does unusual things. You know, he could do unusual things in Acts chapter 19. He could do something totally different and unusual in 2021. Yeah. Two, sorry. You know, I'm trying to keep my age down a little bit, you know, if it might come. You know, he will do unusual things. Only do the thing we need to believe that God will do, he's still capable of doing unusual things. But not necessarily make a doctrine out of something. Do you hear what I'm saying? Sometimes we can get around something and use something or something. I don't know. Maybe Holy Ghost will say that today. You know, take a prayer cloth or something. It's very important. There's these things we can do. Sometimes people just need some point of contact. And that's powerful. It says, then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, we exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches. And there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so. In verse 15, and the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? You can imagine that. That'd freak you out in church, wouldn't it? Hello? That would freak you out. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of this dark age. You know, we live in a fallen world with demonic forces. Yes. Hello? Yes. Come on, we still live in the same age. Yes. We're just 2,000 years on. Yeah. And the evil spirit answered and said to him, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who in the world are you? I remember hearing somebody preach this message once, and it was titled, Are You Known in Hell? are you known in hell? Are you marked? See, Jesus was marked. This evil spirit knew who Jesus was, that's for sure. Evil spirit knew who Paul was. But these itinerant exorcists just trying to play around and mess about and this counterfeit wasn't recognized. And that's dangerous. It says, then the man in whom the evil spirit was leapt on them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. You can imagine the pandemonium. You know, when Jesus cast out an evil spirit, it would go. Hello? Yes. Right? When the Apostle Paul cast out an evil spirit, it would leave. When somebody has authority and a revelation, the power of God, evil spirits leave. But when these who had no revelation, no understanding, they're just trying to counterfeit this evil spirit, then the man in whom the evil spirit was leapt on them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that place naked and wounded. This became known both to all Jews and Greeks dwelling in Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many who believed came, confessing and telling their deeds. Also, many of those who practice magic brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all, and they counted up the value of them all, and it totaled 50,000 pieces of silver. Verse 20, so the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. Here was a move of God. And that's what I just really wanted to focus on this morning. There's this move of God in this place where it came to this situation where so the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. And we need to get ourselves in that place and have a desire to see the word of God, you know, word of God growing mightily and prevailing and having some impact in the lives and people around us in the worlds in which we live. And that is available to each and every one of us. And so we see here how this move of God takes place. There's this Pentecost experience that they're experiencing. And let me say, come on, the Pentecost didn't just finish at Pentecost on the day of Pentecost, but it didn't just happen at Ephesus here and that was it. But it is moving through these hours and days in which we live, and we need to be a people living and desiring to see the power of Pentecost manifest in the days in which we live today. You know, experiencing a move of the Holy Spirit, it shouldn't be unusual. It shouldn't be unusual, and yet sometimes, for whatever reason, these 12 people, having been, they lived in Ephesus. Paul had been there before. For some reason, they get to this situation where he's able to say to them, he's prompted, presumably by the Holy Spirit, to ask them this question: Did you receive the Holy Spirit? Did you get that? Did you receive that power? Did you receive that infilling? The power which changes you from the inside and converts and causes you to step out in boldness. And they were able to say, well, no, we never even heard there was one. We never had a clue. Didn't know there was a Holy Spirit. And where have you been? Where have you been? See, we need to be preaching, I believe, in the house of God. Need to be hungry for the move of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And when they got that understanding, Paul is able to pray for them, and they get baptized in the name of Jesus. You know, their thinking gets sorted out, and Paul lays his hands on. They receive the Holy Spirit, and they start moving in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And when you move in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, it changes the lives of people around you. Because they're not for you to just say, "Well, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit." It's not for you just saying, "Well, I'm this wonderfully important person. I'm anointed." No, it's for the power of God to flow through you, for lives to change around you, so you get to that situation where the word of God grows mightily and prevails. Right. See, sometimes we don't always ask the questions because we don't like to rock boats. Paul could have just gone through there and said, "Well, okay, you're a nice person. You've received that baptism of repentance that John was speaking of, and it's all very nice." And did you not receive? Did you not hear the promises of Jesus? That you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall prophesy. You shall flow in gifts which will change people's lives, which will cause things to change in people's situations, and get to this place where they're able to see. Now, these people who are so, I believe, so immersed in this, in Paul's teaching and his understanding and revelation coming to them for 2.5 years, 2 years and 3 months, you know, now God worked unusual miracles. I believe we need to be expectant of the unusual. Yeah, because we're so familiar with the normal. And the normal doesn't seem to shake us too much. It doesn't seem to, you know, grab us too much. And so we can get complacent in what we believe. And I believe these people have got a little bit complacent in what they believe. How many of you could deal with something which is abnormal? Yeah. You know, unusual. That's 3 of you. You know, I believe we could do with some things that need unusual. You see, people have things going on in their lives where it wouldn't be normal for them to totally have something unusual take place, abnormal. You know, I don't expect there's many people in here who have seen a limb grow in somebody's body. But that happens. That happens. I remember my grandparents telling me about a pastor who had to take his trousers off in the service because his legs were growing. Miraculously. Well, he took them off. He went in the back to take his trousers off, but he didn't do it on the platform. That wouldn't have been appropriate, would it? But that's unusual. See, sometimes we get so seized into the normal and what we're expecting. So we expect to come to church on a Sunday morning, 10:30 or thereabouts, as whatever time you choose to come, and leave at a certain time, sing the same sort of songs, hear the same sort of word, come as we are, and pretty much leave as we came. I believe God wants us to come as we are, but go transformed, go changed, go with some fresh revelation, go having experienced the move of God, go being able to say, wow, the Spirit of God touched me and did a work in me. Look what takes place when this demon comes out of somebody, then the one in whom the evil spirit had leapt out on them, overpowered them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that place naked and wounded. This became known both to the Jews and to the Greeks dwelling in Ephesus, and fear fell on them all. Not afraid, but the fear of the Lord, I believe. Let's stop messing with the Word of God. Let's stop messing with what His Word says to us and what His Word is doing to us. Let's stop messing with. Let's stop being complacent with it. And fear came on them, and when fear comes on us, I believe that it causes us to do things differently. Hello. When the fear of the Lord comes on us, it comes on us, and it's not a fearful, shaking, fearful. Oh, I'm just a fearful person. No, it's a fear of doing things right by God. And the fear of the Lord comes on them and came on them. And it says, fear fell on them all. And the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. When fear comes on the body of Christ, when fear comes on believers, the name of the Lord gets magnified. And many who had believed came confessing and telling their deeds. Also many of those who had practiced magic brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all, and they counted the value of them, and there was 50,000 pieces of silver. And you see, when fear comes on you, it causes you to do something. When fear of the Lord comes on us, it causes us to shake ourselves together. It causes us, I believe, to start putting some things right. Causes us to maybe think about some things and how is it I'm living? Is how I'm living the right way? And then they start to put things to one side and get rid of some stuff and start cleaning their lives up. When the fear of the Lord came on them, so the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. See, it grew. God's heart is for His word to grow mightily in us and to prevail and take ground and overcome. And if it can't happen in the church, where's it going to happen? If it can't happen in the church, where's it going to happen? And it's like in this instance here, it's like it starts with these 12 guys who were just thought they were okay. Yeah, we're saved. We got a home in heaven. But Paul comes along and says, man, did you not? Where were you when we were here before? Were you out of town? Did you not come to the meeting? Were you doing something else? Did you have something else in your calendar? You know, were you just late? Yeah, did you not receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? They said, well, never even knew. Maybe no one ever asked them the question. Maybe nobody had ever offered them that opportunity. Because sometimes we just assume we know things and we're okay with everything. We get complacent. To be honest, I've been in church for 65 years. I haven't missed very many Sundays from the church I grew up in. And then, to be honest, the church doesn't look a lot different in those 65 years. A lot of the format is pretty much the same still, and that's good. Format is good if it's godly, if it facilitates the things of the moving of the Holy Spirit. But sometimes things don't look very different. I haven't seen many unusual miracles. Have you not heard? We didn't know there was such a thing. And so Paul brings them to that place, and he just brings this instruction. They get revelation. They get baptized in the Holy Spirit. They start to prophesy, and they start to speak in tongues, and they start operating in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And then in just 2.5 years, we see a whole region impacted by the power of God. So much so that if you read the rest of the chapter of Acts, you see how opposition came in there, and then they got themselves into a bit of trouble. But it doesn't stop the church growing. It doesn't stop the miracles. It doesn't stop the power of God moving. Because it's not over until it's over. And church, I believe we need to live in those days, and I think we can learn something from this today. That, come on, let's be open to the move of God, the move of the Holy Spirit. Let's be Pentecostal. Amen. Amen. Let's see a Pentecostal revival. Let's hunger for and dive and do whatever it takes. Pay the price. To see the move of God and to see some of the unusual miracles, unusual things take place. So we're able to say, I thank God that we covet and we love the presence of God in this house. We love the presence of the Holy Spirit moving in this place. Sometimes we're so seasoned like those 12. It's almost like feel like we're okay the way we are. Just holding on until Jesus comes back. Just let me get into retirement. Let me get to that place where we can hold on just till he comes back. We're just holding a fort. We're just, we should be taking ground. In the location of the church, where the church is physically, in the location of where you are placed, in your school, where area where you work. Taking ground in the hospital, taking ground in the school, taking ground in the pharmacy, taking ground, in the engineering establishment, taking ground in the office. I know some of you work from home, but taking ground in your sphere of influence. Not just holding on and waiting like 12 people who are saying, "Well, we never even heard that." But saying, "Oh, okay, we may not have ever heard it, but we're hungry now. Now we've heard it. Now we've heard it. We're accountable." What we do with what we hear is so important. You hear things. You hear somebody say something to you. And think, no, I've heard that. What do I do with that? What do I do with that? When we've heard, we're then accountable. And these 12 were now accountable. They'd heard. We'd never heard of it. Thank you for telling us. Okay, now we've got it. For whatever reason we didn't know, for whatever reason we didn't hear, for whatever reason, we've been sitting on the fence for 20 years, maybe for 50 years, maybe for whatever. But now we've heard it. Now we've heard there is a Holy Spirit. We never even knew there was one. Well, where have you been? Maybe there's some things that aren't preached enough in church. So maybe somebody only comes to church maybe once a month and, they missed it. I remember when I first got involved in and started, got a revelation of some stuff, and we were just young and a little bit more crazy than we are now. We started going to a church that was labeled charismatic. I'd been fearful of going there because I'd heard about it. I'd heard that people were swinging from the chandeliers. And there was this powerful move. And I didn't know whether they had chandeliers or not, but that's what I was told. I was told it was wild. And there's a move of God there. And I went there, and I tell you, I was disappointed. Because there weren't any chandeliers. And there was nobody swinging from anything. They were just normal people. Some weren't normal, by the way. But there was a move of God. There were some things going on. I can remember going, there was some things were taking place. I remember going and on a Sunday night and not wanting to miss a Sunday night in case I missed something. in case I missed them, in case God showed up in a way, and maybe there's an unusual miracle, something happened, you know, and I wouldn't want to miss it in case I missed something. But let me get back to when we hear you. When we hear something, then we're accountable. And these 12 heard it, and they were accountable, and they got baptized in the name of Jesus and allowed Paul to lay his hands on them. By the way, we believe in the ministry of laying on of hands. Amen? Amen? That's a big deal, and we could talk a lot about laying on of hands and when that is appropriate, maybe sometimes when it's not appropriate. But it's powerful. And they lay hands on them and they receive the Holy Spirit. I want to just worship for a few moments. I want to just allow the Holy Spirit just to move in this place this morning. And if you're here this morning, say, I want to up my game. Maybe you're like those who, when they got a revelation, understand they had to let some things go. They had to burn some books. They had to repent of some things. They had to make a fresh start. Do something physical. Just going to worship for a few moments this morning before we close out. But I want to give the opportunity for you to receive something fresh from God today. Maybe you're here this morning, you're not even born again. You've never experienced Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. Today, you can ask him to come into your life. The Bible says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. And that is just the beginning. He will fill us with his Holy Spirit. But just as we worship, as we close out this morning, people in the New Testament who got a touch from God, many of them got it because they reached out to him. The lady who had the issue of blood, he wasn't even going her way. She reached out to him. She had an unusual miracle. Let's just stand on our feet.